The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
Real Racing USA, back on the airwaves. It's Tuesday night. We're here in the Real Racing USA studios. How you doing tonight, Jack?
Ain't nothing better than a little AC/DC.
You know, before we get this show underway, I do have a comment about something that was said on another radio show.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Why is Wayne Jefferson wearing dresses?
We're going to have to ask Bonehead Rob Elting about that.
Yeah, I heard that Jefferson's wearing dresses. I just can't believe that. I just talked to him Saturday night.
Yeah, we'll have to. That news was broke by Rob Elting, and I know Rob's listening to this right now, so I don't know. We're going to have to get to the bottom of that one.
No doubt about it. On tonight's show, Andy Hillenberger, he's an ARCA champion. He just bought... I've got that, too. He just bought Rockingham Speedway. He's in the final stages of buying that. Quarter midget champion. He's done just about everything.
Andy Hillenberg has done it all.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's
Indy 500.
A little of this and a little. I mean, he's done it all. And now
Winston Cup, Busch, Craftsman Truck, and he flipped Skip's favorite driver. Or not Skip, but Terry's favorite driver.
Yeah.
Yep.
Back in the day. You know, I was up there at Rockingham earlier this year, man, and I was up there for a drag racing event right across the street, and it was pretty cool. It was IHRA drag racing, the biggest event they'd ever had there. And, man, it was so weird, you know, standing across there and looking across the street at the rock. And, man, you just like, it is so cool to think that that place is coming back and the ghosts are going to get woke up.
Right. No doubt. No doubt about it. And what a great guy to do it with a lot of racing experience.
Yeah, buddy.
We'll be talking to him. Who else we got on the show tonight, Jack?
We got the Red Skelton of Motorsports Promotion.
Red Skelton of Motorsports Promotion.
I mean, younger,
he's the answer for short track racing, right?
There ain't no doubt.
No doubt
Kevin,
about it.
Kevin Ruick.
He taught Don Nerone everything he knows.
He taught almost every promoter in America
Right? Most
of what they know. Okay?
Kevin Ruick.
Is going, if Kevin doesn't entertain you, man, you can't be entertained.
The king of motorcycle demolition derbies.
Oh, my God.
If you've ever seen it on TV or you've actually witnessed one live, you can thank Kevin Ruick for that.
And he's come out of retirement, and he is going to share some whole new insights on how to put people, things he's actually doing. He's not a guy who just talks. He actually does this wacky stuff. And he's got some whole new games to for short track racing to fill the grandstands.
You know, there's something else that's gaining ground right now, and it's those Steel Body Pro Cup cars. Showtime Motorsports, Mike Krakowski will be on. He's going to unveil their first races this weekend, right?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it is this weekend at Hickory Motor Speedway in North Carolina, of course. And Sherry Clifton, who is the promoter, general manager at Hickory Motor Speedway, is going to spend some time with us. And she has been around this speedway since 1953. And I think she's got a few stories to tell.
Right. On a sad note, we want to remember Joe Cownan. He passed away Sunday night at that's a tough one, man. I mean, he just posted on the message board, and next thing I know, I get a phone call Monday morning that Joe passed away. You know, and it's been a while since I saw Joe, former race director for the Fast Truck Series, for East Bay Raceway, for DeSoto Speedway.
Yep.
If it wasn't for Joe, we would never have met John Birdie.
That's right.
You know,
he brought John around. That's
and
right.
What a vast knowledge of you know Northeastern racing that he had, and Joe will definitely be missed. And
it's one of those things that makes you remember once again. There's something about that New York Minute, man. You just never know.
Yep, you never know when it's up.
Yep. Let's see, what else?
What else? What else is happening?
Well, Birmingham has decided that they're not going to, apparently not, Birmingham, Alabama is going to not continue that racetrack. Did you read about that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, but, you know, they do have an ASA race scheduled there, and sponsorship, according to ASA officials, they told me yesterday that there is sponsorship arranged, and that race, the ASA race scheduled there, ASA late model division race,
right,
is still scheduled as planned. And so that race will no longer be the last race of the year, though, because the last race will be at South Georgia Motorsports Park. But
right.
Birmingham, at least for that event, will continue to function.
But they're closing the track?
You know, that's what has been circulating here, and it seems to have they have not been able to financially continue to operate the place, and that's been the deal.
Wow. That place has been around forever.
Yeah. They're still looking for it. I mean, it's even though that announcement was made, it has not been like there's still some hope, as there, you know, there always is. But,
right.
You know, it almost makes me wonder if we shouldn't we should maybe get back with Martin Pierce.
Yeah, no doubt.
Huntsville Speedway in Alabama.
Yeah. What else? I'd heard something else about Alabama, and I can't remember what it was.
Well, we had, you know, L.W. Miller.
Right.
He won the Wayland.
He won the championship.
He won the Southern, Wayland Southern Modified Championship. Skip Wall was up there covering that for Southern Motor Racing, and for, of course, Karnak.com. Filed a report and some awesome photographs from that event up there. And
what's his website again?
It's southernmotorracing.com.
Right, he's got some great pictures.
It's under development, but there's a ton of pictures there.
And John Force back in the news. He was on. They had a coverage of the drag race yesterday, and he was on a live link. I lost my headphones for some reason. They just disappeared. Oh, they're unplugged. But John talked about the safety improvements that they're doing in the cars. They showed them they showed the improvements they're making on those cars to prevent from what happened to him from ever happening again. And of course, he was under a lot of pain medication. So all the healing vibes go out to John Force, but there is some interviews with him. Go to johnforceracing.com, and you can see that. Also, Cecil Williams race coming up this weekend. Yeah,
yep,
this weekend. That should be a good one. And did we have Crash Rama at Lakeland this past weekend?
Hang on. Yeah. We got a lot of things going on. We have a lot of things going on here all at the same time, right?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. No doubt about it. Super late models at Charlotte.
Go ahead and hook it up.
Yeah.
Rick, go ahead and take care of this business for a minute. I got stuff here going on the phone. We're going to hook up with Andy.
Well, why don't you take us to a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
We can do that.
Let's do that.
Find the right button.
Let's do that. Don't forget about coming up December 14th and 15th, the second annual Charity Truckers 200. David Starr will be there. Rick Bristol's out there promoting the devil out of this. I got all the posters and stuff.
Highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert. Five Star has one driving passion, to help you win. Five Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, Short Track Asphalt, Short Track Dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today. FiveStarBodies.com.
I'm Racing Movie Man at USA Speedway, and you're listening to Real Racing USA.
Hey, my name is Roger Rudeman. You're listening to Real Racing USA.
CarNet.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNet.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNet.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
All right, welcome back to Real Racing USA. Right now, we're privileged to have on the line with us Andy Hillenberg. Andy, how you doing tonight?
Hey, doing great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Oh, it's great to have you on. We got Terry Wall on with us. Terry knows you probably better than any of us. Terry, you want to take this over for a little bit?
Yeah, and I thought you were going to say Terry Wall when you said you had the privilege of having somebody on the line, but geez. You had to say Andy Hillenberg.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, be careful. Be careful. That phone will fall into your ear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've known Andy a long time. He hasn't known me, of course. Andy's probably got a lot of fans out there that he don't know about, and I'm one of them. And I knew Andy when he was driving Busch Series back in the day, and also have followed his racing school quite a bit. And first of all, I want to talk to you, Andy, about your racing school. You want to go ahead and tell the folks about your school a little bit and how to get a hold of you?
Oh, sure. We've been operating a stock car driving school since 1989. We have programs anywhere from ride programs where you can come and let one of our instructors drive you around to a two-hour driving program where you come and drive the cars all the way up to a three-day program. So a little bit of stuff each and or in between each of those programs, and really enjoy it. I enjoy spreading my enthusiasm about the sport. We've got a lot of up-and-coming drivers that have been through, you know, trying to make their way through the racing ranks. And then we have, you know, a lot of people that have been following the sport that really want to know what their favorite driver's going through.
Well,
everything.
When you mention some of the drivers that have been through your school, you want to mention a few of the people that you've worked with that are now involved with the Nextel Cup?
Well, sure. I mean, I got to be careful because a lot of these guys would have made it anyway. I mean, it wasn't. I don't want to imply that you know, by them coming to the school, it got them to that level by any means. But you know, a few of the guys that we were fortunate enough to work with, Jeremy Mayfield. You know, one of his first time on a super speedway was at our school. Dale Jr. came through the class back at Lowe's before really was the first. Racing heat done other than the street soccer. So that was right. That was pretty neat to have Junior there, and you know, what a success he became. And you know, on the Busch side, Jason Keller's been through our program, ARCA champion Tim Steele, a lot of the ARCA guys. We are the official driving school of ARCA, so
okay.
Got to see a lot of the ARCA guys come through, and a lot of my old sprint car buddies that just wanted to see what it was like.
But
you know,
I noticed that you have Brian Silas that is driving for you now. He went through your school, is that correct?
Oh, yeah. Brian was our driver this year, is our driver on the 11 car. We've got a run at Toledo here this weekend, so one more race left for the season. And Brian will be back with us next year as the driver of the 11 car for next season. So really looking forward to that.
Well, you know, Andy, one of the obviously the most exciting thing that is floating around right now, around, of course, it's made the internet buzz and all of that, I'm sure, is Rockingham.
Yep.
Tell us about that.
Well, it's something that we've been looking for in the school for quite some time, is a racetrack to work with where we have the flexibility of dates and things that we need. And then with the sale of Rockingham, it fell right into our business plan and what we were doing, and we were so fortunate to get that particular speedway. Just really, really, I think is going to enhance our driving programs immensely, and then looking forward to getting racing back at the Rock.
Yeah, Rockingham, what a history that racetrack has, and supposedly there's supposed to be some ARCA races coming back there too, right?
Well, that's what everything's looking like. I mean, we've still got a lot of paperwork to do over the next 2.5 weeks, so we can't make anything official until all that happens and the papers go back and forth from the courthouse and the county and the, you know, the SI and the Rockingham folks, and there's a lot of paperwork that's still in the process of being done, and you know, I can't make an announcement, but nothing would make me any happier than the first race back at the Rock being ARCA race.
No doubt about it, and I'll tell you what, there's a ton of people smiling up there right now.
I was seeing a very positive reaction, you know, having a lot of friends in the sport and knowing, you know, having raced against people in open-wheel cars and dirt cars and stock cars and so many different series and knowing so many different racers, I was expecting that positive support, but it is literally 10 to 20 times what I expected positive.
What about the local community there, Andy? You know, when NASCAR pulled out of the race at Rockingham is because they said it was low attendance. Has the local community embraced you as far as trying to bring the Rock back to life?
Oh, that was one of the big reasons for going after it so hard, was the commitment from the community. They've been, you know, basically shut down race-wise almost 4 years now, February 04 to now. So come February, it'll be 4 years since there's been a race there. And they were very supportive, had a lot of great ideas because, you know, just being a racer all these years as an owner, a driver, a mechanic, I've written a couple stories, got to do a little TV and radio work. So being involved from all of those angles. But now I'm learning a whole new side, you know, concessions, parking, first aid, hospitals, rescue crews, fire crews, tickets, a lot of those things that I've never really got to be involved with. And I'm really getting to see the whole side of an equation of what it takes to put a race on now.
And a huge equation that's going to be, because that's no little racetrack that's just sticking in the hills somewhere. That's Rockingham.
Well, yes, and we want to do it justice, and the thing is the first race that we have, I want it to be grand, I want it to be great. You know, there's still some old there. I mean, you know, some of the things are older, and, you know, the suites are not shiny and chrome, and I'm not going to shiny and chrome them. I mean, they're going to be old and shiny. It's going to have history to it, and that's really the approach that we're going to, and hopefully we can you know, get the fans there for that first event and put on such a great show that we won't have to work so hard the second year to sell the ticket.
It is amazing. You know, you're driving out in the country, and for folks that haven't been there, you're driving out. I've never been to a race there. I was up there earlier this year, Andy, to the big IHRA drag racing event, you know, which is right across the street there to Drag Strip, and you're driving out in the country like seems forever. And out in the middle of nowhere, and then you come to this place, and you kind of get chills when you look over there and see what it is. And it's the Rock, man.
The Rock.
Yep, that's exactly right. And, you know, like I say, I really feel like I've got the heat on to go and do the Speedway justice because, you know, such historical names have been a part of that Speedway and I want to make sure that, I add to the legacy of the Speedway that's already there and, you know, make the people that have raced there before proud.
The only NASCAR race I've ever attended in my life was at the Rock. It was the year that Dale Earnhardt Sr. bumped Bobby Hamilton out of the way to win the race. I don't remember what year that was, but and the crowds there then was pretty healthy.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They were really healthy. So I think the crowd is there. I just think with it in your hands, Andy, that it will bring the crowd out again.
Well, we sure hope so, and, you know, appreciate all the support from everywhere that we're getting in. I mean, here just talking about it, and for the people out listening, hopefully we have our phone lines up, you know, in 2 to 3 weeks, and people can call in, and they can ask questions, and we can, you know, tell them when the races are, when the events are, what they can look forward to, and what we're trying to make our next major improvement, and, you know, really. Into life, right?
Andy, what other than like the ARCA possibly coming there, the ARCA event coming there? What other types of events do you think perhaps could be done there successfully?
Really, I don't see any series that I don't think could be not successful at the Rock. You know, you've got open wheel cars, you've got other stock car series. You know, if we can work out programs and sponsorships, nothing would make me any happier than having a major race every month there. But only if we can do it right.
No doubt about it. Now, you know, we've talked a lot about the Rock. Let's talk a little bit about Andy Hillenberger himself. Now, you know, you were the test driver for the IROC series. You've competed in the Indianapolis 500, 16 Winston Cup starts, 9 Busch starts, 4 in the Craftsman trucks. You've acted. You said you were a writer. You've done a little announcement. What hasn't Andy Hillenberger done in racing?
Well, I've been very fortunate, and a lot of it is enthusiasm to the sport that I love so much, and you know, just getting in there and trying and. You know, it's led me down a long and a winding road, so to speak. Something that I'm very proud of. I don't really know how it all happened, but it's sure been a fun ride. And you know, hopefully, we're not even half over.
How did you get involved in the Indy 500 ride?
Well, I grew up in Indianapolis, and my goal since I could remember walking and talking was to race in the Indy 500. And I grew up pursuing that dream heavily, racing sprint cars, Silver Crown cars, a few midget races, modified races, anything that I could that I felt like would help me get to Indianapolis. But in the 80s, that had all changed to where you needed to be sports car racing and work your way through. And I was actually entered to run at Indianapolis in the late 80s, and the deal fell apart, and the next year I had another deal put together, and it fell apart, and it was really frustrating to the point that Bill Simpson said, you know, maybe you need to just go look at the Daytona 500 instead of the Indy 500, and I'm like, I don't know if I can start over. I put my whole heart and soul and into this Indianapolis thing, and Bill said, if you can drive, you'll make your way to the Daytona 500, and I said, well, what the heck, let's go try it, and moved to North Carolina and, you know, was fortunate enough to win an ARCA championship. I got a win at Daytona a couple of times in the 200-miler, dang near won the Busch race 1 year, and I did make that Daytona 500 in 98. And after all that happened, a lot of my friends walking from the side said, you know, hey, you know, maybe you ought to go back to get to Indianapolis before you get too old to try this thing. And a lot of lifetime friends all put together that deal for me to go back to Indianapolis and make that start there at Indianapolis. And we broke about halfway through, so I didn't get to finish it, but I did get to participate in the greatest spectacle in racing.
No doubt. That had to be an awesome feeling. They also, the great thing this year was, although he didn't make the field, It was Frank Kimmel driving a car for Andy Hillenburg at the Daytona 500.
Yes, we were close there with Frank. You know, we weren't able to qualify as well as we wanted to, but we did put a good quality piece out there, and Frank did an outstanding job. I felt like he got a little bit more out of the race car than it actually had in it. With Frank was actually in the race with three or four laps to go in the dual race at the 150, and did a whale of a job getting it up there. And it was quite a sight to see. I got to be Frank's spotter and work with him from that end of the radio, and maybe someday we'll get to go back and try it again.
Yeah, we've had Frank on the show several times, and he's a heck of a guy.
He's a special person, no doubt. Terry, go ahead there.
Yeah, I just when I did the post-production talking to Andy today, I brought up the worst part of my being a fan of Andy Hillenburg in the Busch race when he got into, well, I don't know if Casey lifted. Probably Casey lifted, huh, Andy?
Well, yeah, I can promise you he did.
And got in the back of Casey Atwood, and Casey flipped several times. And that's the year you came in second, wasn't it?
We ended up third, yeah. We tore the front end up all the way to the line, but really felt like we had a time for a little better run than that, and it just kind of worked out that way. And one of those racing deals, as they say. But
well, with the COT car, that won't happen anymore, because actually those cars is where you went underneath them and lifted the back wheels off. But the COT cars, actually the bumper and the tail section meet evenly. So what do you think of the COT cars, Andy?
Well, they addressed an area that they needed to look at, obviously, and that, you know, that's driver safety. I mean, you always want to keep working on that area, and you know, you must applaud NASCAR for that part of it. I mean, there's some drivers that are, you know, very big guys. I mean, Michael Waltrip,
right.
Elliot Sadler, Dale Jarrett. I mean, you can't just build these cars for you know, little guys like Martin and Kane, smaller in stature. I mean, obviously, big behind the wheel. But you have to look out for the safety of those guys, so you got to applaud them for making that decision. And yeah, I know a few fans are saying, "Well, this race is boring and it's harder to pass here or there, and you know the cars look a little different." But I mean, the initial part of that program was for the driver safety, so you have to applaud them for that. And
right.
You know, hopefully, a couple of these other issues they'll be able to get worked out.
Andy, this has got to be something that you are familiar with, I'm sure, you know, operating the school. The kids. Tell us about the youth movement.
Well, there, I'd say 3 or 4 years ago, you were seeing, or maybe even 5 years ago, you were seeing them wanting to pluck out these 15, 16, 17-year-old racers. I think that's gradually changing back to the other way, where they're going to try to start letting some of these guys mature for the mid-20s. I think there's always a couple of exceptions. I mean, Kyle Busch being one right now. But I think you're going to see that rotate more towards the mid-20s range. And I think when Jeff Gordon decides to hang him up, it'll kind of become the norm for the standard retirement age. I mean, that I think drivers aren't going to be able to stick around until they're 50 or 60 years old anymore.
So the maturity factor with the young kids is probably a part of it?
Well, I don't know if it's the maturity, but it's the experience level. I mean, it's hard to expect a kid to come in and run, you know, 150 races in their life and ask them to win a giant race like any cup race, whether it be Martinsville or Daytona. It's hard to get them to that level that fast. And, you know, you need to mature in a season of Hooters and a season of ARCA, two seasons of ARCA, a season of trucks, and that maturity on several different racetracks and experience that you need to be able to apply. So once you're in position to win, you can capitalize on it.
Isn't it hard to believe that Jeff Gordon's nearing the end of his career?
I wouldn't say that he's nearing the end of his career because he won't be able to do it.
No,
he might darn well be nearing the end of his career because he's tired of doing it.
Right, exactly. That's the way I've been looking at it. That's the interviews I've heard from him. He really sounds like he's not into it like he used to be. Of course, now Sunday he was into it because he was banging that steering wheel.
Well, once he gets the helmet on, he's definitely into it. Knowing Jeff all these years, you know, he's a tremendous competitor. But, you know, he set the standard coming in, and I think he'll set the standard going out.
No doubt about it.
That's an excellent comment there, Andy. I believe you're right, too. And you just never know who's going to be the next one. I mean, a lot of people are trying. Reed Sorensen, for one, and J.J. Yalen, a few others, and they're not even close to the success that Jeff had at an early age.
Well, one thing is for sure, Andy, when you open your doors at Rockingham for the first race, I know that I don't know if Rick's going to be able to get off and go there, but I know that some of us will certainly be there. And, yep.
Well, good deal. We need everybody we can get there, and naturally we don't want to turn anybody away. We want to be at just right where the last guy that walks in is just perfectly fills the place.
Perfect.
Well, we wasn't planning on paying, Andy. We wanted...
I understand that.
You just can't get away from these media guys, Andy.
Every okay. Media chair full, too.
Well, we'll definitely help you out on our end as far as when you make that announcement of the first race. We'll be all over it.
Well, the good deal, and thank you for having me on the show, guys. I really appreciate it. I know we got a wonderful bunch of people out there because the race fans in my book are number one and always have been, and their encouragement and support has really kind of kept me going through all these years.
Well, Andy, it's been our pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for all your information on Rockingham, and we'll definitely stay tuned with you and definitely have you back on the show.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thank you, Andy.
Hey.
Andy Hillenburg.
Yeah.
Real Andy Racing Hillenburg. USA Live on Tuesday nights.
No doubt about it.
You know, Jack, you mentioned today about driving sprint cars. There is another Andy Hillenburg out of Oklahoma that drives sprint cars, too. But according to this Andy, he drove sprint cars also.
Right, exactly. I knew he drove quarter midgets. And hold on a second. I'm getting a phone call from Sean Rudiman.
Anyway, Terry, you know, when I was up there at Rockingham earlier this year, and as a matter of fact, I'm scheduled to be back there this weekend for the All Harley Drag Racing event. But when I was up there, I took the opportunity to go downtown, down to the actual town of Rockingham, and I, you know, there were signs that something had been here big that was no longer here, and. You know, we asked some of the people, just the ordinary folks around town, every time we got a chance, what impact it had had on them with NASCAR leaving, and it was tremendous. Obviously, it was huge. But you know, that event that I was at up there was the largest event the drag racing side of that whole deal had ever had. It had 50,000 people there.
For that
event on Saturday. That was a one day 50,000 people, and for a 3 day event, and so you got to think they'll pack them in.
Oh yeah,
you know,
bing 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 bing. Newsflash
from Real Racing USA Live on Tuesday.
Next
night.
Tuesday night, Sean Rudiman will be on the show with us. Coming up in November, we've got the David Rudiman charity golf tournament up in Zephyr Hills.
Yes.
So Sean's got some interesting stuff he'd like to put out next Tuesday night.
Are we going golfing again?
We might be going golfing.
Hey, Terry.
I don't golf unless I can have it.
I don't golf either, Terry. I don't even go goofy golfing.
Okay.
I ride around the little go-karts, though.
My nephew goes golfing just so he can drink beer.
Yeah, my brother goes golfing.
Mr. Wall, we're going to have to let you slide along now because we're going to...
I appreciate the opportunity to be on... The Real Racing USA live show on Tuesday night.
And what are we doing tomorrow night, Terry?
We're gonna have a girl on.
A girl?
All right.
What kind?
Terry's favorite.
Rocca out of Connecticut, who's coming into the ASA.
Terry's favorite driver, a female driver.
Yeah. Well, this one is.
Are we gonna talk to Trent Snyder on the ASA?
We'll get Trent set up tomorrow. And as I told you, I'll be in Ohio doing the show tomorrow.
Okay.
That I'll have everything ready to go at 5 o'clock Eastern time.
All right, we'll be back. We'll be back shortly. We're going to talk tonight to Kevin Ruick, but then later on in the show, we're going to the historic. Where are we going?
Hickory
Motor Speedway.
Hickory Motor Speedway. Talking about the Rock so much, you forgot about Hickory.
I got to take my
most favorite movie, Hoosiers. The team was named Hickory.
The Hickories.
See ya.
Yeah. Good night.
Like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the Brakeman. The Brakeman has been designing high performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman. On the web at thebrakeman.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Discount Airline Pilot Guy.
Mr. Discount Airline Pilot Guy.
Your minimal experience flying a plane will never land you at a reputable airline. Luckily, you don't work for one.
Look at me, I'm flying.
Sure, we're concerned for our lives. Just not as concerned as saving $9 on a round trip to Fort Myers.
Oh!
The most direct route to Houston? Through Fort Lauderdale, with layovers in Detroit, Vancouver, and Kalamazoo.
I can't feel my legs.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, skipper of the skies. You put the fly in fly-by-night operation.
Mr. Discount Airline Pilot Guy.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion: to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, Short Track Asphalt, Short Track Dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today, 5starbodies.com.
Well, Rick, we can't draw flies, you know.
Can't draw flies.
But we can draw people like Kevin Ruick out of the hills, the rolling plains of Ohio.
Isn't that where Terry said he was going?
Yeah, he's going to Ohio.
All right.
Welcome to Real Racing USA, Mr. Kevin Ruick. How's things going, Kevin?
Well, pretty good. Pretty good. They had a pretty good year this year. Up here, it's all over.
How's the corn growing?
High. We had enough rain to make it work well. So now the kids are out there with their four-wheelers running through their putting signs in the corn, and the farmers are out there shooting the kids on the four-wheelers.
All right. So are you promoting that?
Pardon?
Are you promoting that?
I'm going for it. I think there's money in it.
So what do you think about Andy Hillenburg taking Rockingham by the reins and going to start doing some stuff up in the hills there?
Is that for sure?
Well, we just, yeah.
Yeah, he's just saying the final paperwork's going from the courthouse back to the track and back and forth, and pretty much it's all over the internet.
Oh, that's excellent. You know, there's a lot of race fans there, too.
Oh, boy.
I never did understand it, except the problem is if you're really, really big, just making $5,000 or $6,000 a week just isn't worth it. You know, they got to go for the million-dollar pay rate days. And it's what they do, they set that date to where?
California or Texas, one of the two.
Someplace. I remember it went someplace else. That was the whole deal.
Yeah, I think California and Texas actually sued each other over it.
Well, what do you guys want? Why would you call me here in the middle of this beautiful night?
Well, you know, Kevin. Well,
temperature's almost 60.
Oh, my God.
We there was a little tremor in the force, and you know, we had this idea that somehow or another, we just know you're up to something. We can feel it.
Let me see. Do I get my usual 1 minute to talk about it?
Well, we might give you a couple more.
Boy, I can't even tell any dirty
jokes. He's still ragging us about that.
Kevin, Don Nerone ain't here, so go ahead.
I tried to get Don Nerone, by the way, I tried to get Don Nerone to call in and ask you some questions and so forth, but he didn't want to have any part of it.
Listen, I can't say anything bad about Don Nerone. Don Nerone is an opinionated person who knows that he knows everything, and there's not a damn thing anybody can tell him. And the problem is, he's right. You know, Don and me have been knocking heads for, I don't know, 25, 30 years, something like that. He'll get under your skin and irritate the hell out of you, but boy, you want to know how to do something, just ask him. He'll
let you know.
He will. I could never say a bad word about him, and he's got a really nice wife.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Go to hell. I like her.
Now, last time we talked to you, let us know that racing asphalt style was kind of going nowhere in Ohio.
It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible.
Asphalt racing, now we're talking.
Asphalt racing. And dirt racing is... Here's a problem with dirt racing up here. You have to pay so much in purse to get these 410 sprint cars and get all the names that you have to have up here, because, you know, this is the land of the Kinzers and everything else.
Right.
That you're...
Home of Eldora.
Yeah, you need thousands and thousands of people just to cover your purse. Well, if you're running like 360s and 305s and sprints, you know, they put on almost as good a show, and that makes a lot of sense.
The fans are jaded.
But yes. I had a racetrack up here that just died this last year. And they said, and they called me up and they said, what do you think? I said, well, I'm going to send you a bill if I tell you. The first thing, let's say Billy Bob goes out and gets himself a racetrack. He knows that this racetrack can be done right because he's raced there for 25 years and he never made any money no matter what he won. But he knows the promoter was getting rich. Well, the track comes up for sale. The reason it's up for sale is because it's in foreclosure, like the last eight operators before him. He knows the secret. So he goes there, and he goes to the bank, and he gets all the money out that he saved from his job all his life, buys himself a racetrack, and goes in there. Now, he'll do everything wrong. You take, let's say that you got a third-mile asphalt racetrack. It seats 3,500 people. First thing you do is you change the name of the racetrack. If it's called the Mill Hollow Speedway, and it's been that way since 1948, and it's been, they all started as dirt tracks, but for many, many years it's been an asphalt track. First thing you should do, change the name. Call it Sportsman's Park. Pick any other name in the world. And then take and get yourself 2 feet of good gumbo clay. Toss it right on top of the asphalt. Don't take the asphalt up. Toss it right on top of the asphalt. Now, that's step one. That's step two. You get your asphalt down there, get it down, in, or get the dirt down in the winter. Along comes the spring, and you run your ads, the all-brand spanking new Sportsman's Park is going to open up at the corner of whatever and whatever. And people go, wait a minute, that's where that asphalt track was. But it's the all-new track, because it's a dirt track. Then you take... And the racer shows up at the pit gate all ready to pay his $35 to get in, $10. And he goes into the pits for $10. Well, by the second or third week, instead of him bringing four people with him, he's bringing about eight or nine, because now he doesn't go broke by buying their tickets to get him in. But those 300 people that they had at the round track the year before, the asphalt track, you had $10 ahead, and they'll pay their $10 because what you do is you get rid of the gate between the pits and the grandstand. Do like drag racing. Track's open. Go. go. Just go. Pay your $10. If you're going to go on the pitch, just sign the waiver on your way in. Take your wife. Take the kid in the buggy. Take your friends. Don't take your beer. But you all can go back into the pits. Wander down the aisles. And you have to take your pits in. You got to light them better. And you got to have wider aisles because people are going to be in them. And they wander around the pits all night. They may not even watch a race. Make sure you got no concession stands back there. Because they will sit there and they'll jaw with the drivers, and the drivers will like them. They'll do autographs. Drivers will sell T-shirts. Everybody's happy. And the driver will then, instead of getting free entry for his race car, he pays $35 for his car. Well, he's tickled to death pays $35 for his car because he doesn't have to pay that $35 a head for all his people. And you know what? You've all got yourself an extremely successful dirt track, and you're up here in Ohio. Modifieds are very hot right now. Sprint cars, there's tons of sprint cars. Most of them are 305s, some are 360s, and there are some 410s, but those are generally traveling cars. So rather than run yourself a 410 show and go broke, you run 305 sprint cars. Well, you can run a 305 on dirt or asphalt, just raise or lower the car a couple inches. That's all you got to do. They can run wherever they want to run. Now you get yourself a full field of 305s, and you get yourself a rather decent crowd through the front gate. You get yourself happy racers, and lest I forget, you change the day you race. We all know everybody races on Saturday night. Everybody. Some race Friday.
In Florida, that's the only day you can race. You know that.
And why is that?
That's state law, I think. It must be. It must be.
Nope. Guarantee you. What that is, it's racer promoters' idea that you can only make money on Saturday night because that's the only day they come out. I had a track here in Ohio called Cloverleaf Speedway, a quarter-mile bull ring. About 10 miles away from the city of Cleveland. We had 7,000 seats. I used to, late models, back up, late models used to get at every track on Saturday night, they get $700 to win. Late models at my track got $300 to win. You got nothing just to show up, and you had to finish in the top 10 to get any money at all. You had to qualify to get into the feature. We had always 30, 35 good quality late models because they got nowhere to go. The guy that runs a race car doesn't want to sit around Sunday night and watch whatever the heck there is on TV. Wait a minute, there's a race. Let's go. Now the people who couldn't afford Saturday night and Friday night had things to do. Well, there's nothing to do. What do you do on Sunday? Nothing. You go to church, you hang around, you have a barbecue, and then you sit down and get bored on Sunday night. You race on Sunday night. If it is affordable, and if it is fun, you run Sunday, and you pack them in. They got nowhere to go. The cars have nowhere to go. If they didn't break them on Friday or Saturday, they're going to be there. And normally, there's tons of cars out there. Financially speaking, the racetrack hits a home run, so long as the promoter goes out and hires somebody who has at least a glimmer of an idea what they're supposed to do. Who buys a racetrack? Think about it. It's the race car driver. How many doctors and lawyers out there do you have that are actually running a racetrack today? You know, hands-on running.
Lawyers?
Well, crooks, lawyers, used car salesmen, it's the same thing. But lawyers, how many lawyers do you have? How many doctors? How many guys that work for the stocks and bonds types thing? Any of those blue...
They don't run racetracks.
No, they don't. They don't. But I'll tell you who does. Billy Bob with his gas station shirt from Shell Oil, or Joe Blow who works in the plant. It's a blue-collar business. I'm a blue-collar guy, so I fit right in.
Is a teacher a blue-collar job?
Huh?
Is a school teacher a blue-collar job?
You know, it could be. Yeah, that's basic.
Okay.
That's basic. Okay. That's work. But these guys will go to a track. You know what? If you went to go buy a 7-Eleven and they'd had eight guys go broke in the last 5 years, you wouldn't even look at it. And you'd want to look at the books. You wouldn't buy it. But you'll go buy a racetrack where they got no books, and you'll go in there and you'll immediately lose all your money. But you take an asphalt track, turn it into a dirt track. All it is, I don't care if you turn it into a track with bricks on it. you've got to get rid of that old track. You have to change the name. People will not come to that same loser year after year when the only difference is a new promoter. You have to change absolutely everything so they're coming to a brand-new racetrack. And when you go to a brand-new racetrack, it damn well better have a nice, good driveway. It better have decent lights. It better have the grass cut. And you better spend about $1,000 on red, white, and blue paint.
You think those things really matter? You know, just to throw this in, one of the primary topics at the promoters' workshop meeting out in Reno that's coming up is exactly that, dirt tracks and versus asphalt tracks, and why dirt tracks are doing so much better across the country.
Well, the reason is that asphalt tracks are not boring. You know, I'm 64 years old. You're kind of long in the tooth, guys. There, I mean, you may not be my age, but you remember the old days. Those were jalopies that were racing back then, and you loved it, and they crashed, and they rolled, and they caught fire. The drivers hopefully didn't die, but there's an old rule. You can roll over 100 cars, and they'll come and come and come. You kill one driver, and your crowd drops in half.
You go to
You
go to a typical stock car short track, at least in Florida, and I've seen this in Georgia, and also I saw it this year in North Carolina even. Many, many, many of the classes that race on at the feature level that night, the feature races, most of the cars in the different classes, the average Joe could not tell the cars apart because they all looked the damn same.
Right.
They do. I love the ones when they go, yeah, I had 72 cars there. I had 11 classes of cars. You know, we only run 4 in each division. You know, the guys that run a lot of divisions so they can get a lot of cars, cut that sucker down to 3-4 divisions, they'll get the same cars because it's the same drivers. They just build another car. You know, you don't need all those divisions. But when we grew up, they were jalopy races, and then they got a little better and a little better. Now, you've got cars with $50,000 engines, and you better not touch the body, and they go to fight in the pits because he cut me off, he did. What in the world ever happened to rough-and-tumble racing? That's what the fan wants. You think a fan really likes watching a 500-mile race at Talladega when they go around and around and around?
Not unless you're in the infield getting drunk.
Yeah, they like, you know what they're waiting for? The big one.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And I am, too.
I am, too.
I am, too.
I used to tell the racers, I said, boys, you have to understand, I may own a bunch of racetracks, but I guarantee you I love a good crash. And they go, they hated that. Well, it's absolutely the truth that NASCAR, their car tomorrow is a crock. It's a nice race car that will just be boring as hell.
You know, I went to East Bay Raceway Park last week or 2 weeks ago to an event there. It's a typical Saturday night. They had some motorcycle show on there, but it was the racing, stock car racing was all the normal show. They had 30 late models, and they had a full field in all of their classes, the four classes they ran, modifieds and street stocks, and then I guess the four-cylinder type class. They all had pretty good fields of cars. I think the least number of cars in any of the races was 18. There was 24 late models. And you're absolutely right, because when I go to watch a late model race at one of the tracks, like an asphalt track, after a while, you're kind of expecting and half anticipating and waiting for a big wreck. Well, I just realized when I was there Saturday night watching that dirt race, that never crossed. You don't want them to have a wreck because the action on the track is so exciting, you don't want it to stop.
I did a lot of work with racetracks out around Missouri and Arkansas on that. And you know the biggest, hottest ticket out there is topless racing. They take the dirt late model, and all the late models have tops that pop off. You know, they got Zeus screws on them. Boom, take the top off. And the racetrack will have topless racing. Convertibles, they immediately would pick up an extra 1,000 people for that race because you can see the driver.
Right.
They, I remember convertibles when I was a kid, and you watched the guy throwing a bird to everybody around, or whatever, you know, and you could look down in the car and see what was going on.
One of NASCAR's biggest classes was convertibles.
Oh yeah, I did. When they opened up that small track at Charlotte, they hired me to bring one of my special events down there, and the whole event they had legends. And they had, I took in the Motorcycle Demolition Derby, and we did the Motorcycle Demolition Derby. And then they had Dale Earnhardt Sr. and Dale Earnhardt Jr. in convertibles racing. And I'm going to tell you, normally, the Motorcycle Demo Derby was a hit of the show, not there. Watching those two Earnhardts run side by side, and it was a setup, run side by side in those convertibles, fans absolutely went nuts.
I bet.
And that was the very first race they ever had there for the, you know, when they did the legend racing.
So a little bit ago now, you were basically talking about the fans going into the pits at very low. Instead of paying $25 or $30 or whatever to get in the pits, you were talking about using what they actually do at drag racing events, just let people in, period. Is that what you were getting at?
Here's the deal. I live right around the corner from Norwalk Raceway Park. They're one of my biggest accounts. I do their promotions for them, okay? Which is now called Summit Motorsports Park.
Right.
And they're an NHRA national event track that did 38,000 in the grandstands and another 25,000 walk-in, unable to see the races, people, this last summer. Remember, now that's a three-day event. Now I'm just talking about two of the 3 days.
The Night of Fire.
The Night of Fire is another one. That's also sold out. Mm. It's sold out every year. The Night of Fire is sold out 3 months before the event. But it's the 30th year. After 30 years, it's the party. Nobody comes. They come to West, the jet truck, and the rest of them could care less. They're there to party. But the national event, which had been at Columbus and had been drawing decent crowds, nothing great, went up there. 38,000 sold out in the grandstands. 25,000 that would not get a seat walked up and paid, I believe it was $40, $38 for a ticket. All they got to do was walk around the pits and listen to the track. You couldn't get near the track. Here, if you take, with the problem with opening up the pits, as we all know it, at a round track, it's going to be an absolute disaster, right? Well, the Halloween Classic last year at Norwalk had 1,700 cars racing all day and all night for 6 days. They allowed every person in the property, no matter how they got in or how much they paid, got to go into the pits. You know, they never killed or injured one single person. 1,700 race cars for 6 days. That's 1,700 for each day, you understand. Never hurt anybody. It's a... you're going to get... let me back up. At the drag strips, they allowed all the people in. And most of them, they even put a children's playground in the pits. You know, when you go to ask a promoter, you say, hey, why don't you have a playground out here? Oh, man, the insurance won't allow it. Horse hockey doesn't happen. The insurance covers it. It's totally covered. And they say, well, why don't you let the people in the pits? No, can't. Well, insurance covers it. We all have the same insurance. No matter who wrote it, it's all the same underwriters. It's or drag strips, road courses, motorcycle events, round tracks. It's all the same thing. Well, if they can have them in the drag strip, they can have them in a round track. The promoters say, well, you know, you get a bunch of these drunk guys in the pits. Well, they shouldn't have beer in the pits. Well, you know, they fight in the pits. Well, you throw one out for life. They're going to quit fighting. I promise you that. Well, they race their cars through the pits. Well, that's just bad control on the racetrack's part. If a guy comes racing into the pits, and he's running through the pit road. You go, oop, you're out. See you in a month. You know what? He's not going to do it again. And the other guy wants to race. He goes, I can't do that. All of a sudden, the fan is in the pits, and the racer is actually going to act like a human being, you know, because now it's just not the same old guys who can holler and scream at each other because everybody's going to hear them. You're not going to kill anybody any more than you would at a drag strip. You open the whole place up.
Just let everybody into the pits.
Let them in. Here's what you do. If you're going to go into the pits, you go to the pit gate, you sign in, and you go in, you pay $10. Now, let's get some facts. let's say that a racetrack gets 100 cars, okay?
Okay.
And 100 cars normally bring you four people a car, 400 people. Let's say you charge $25 to get in the pits. It's $10,000 that the promoter's going to get. Now, most of them are paying their purse off the back gate, which is not right. Then you take your front gate. And if they're averaging 600 people, they've got a relatively successful racetrack nowadays, if you're an asphalt track.
Right.
And you charge $10 at the front gate to get in. That $10, believe it or not, is the absolute magic number for anything. You know, $1 to 10 is a $10 bill in somebody's mind. $11 to 20 is a $20 bill in their mind. So if you're going to charge 12 to them, they broke 20 to get there, they just lost $20. So when a fan's coming to the track, he's either going to pay $10 or pay 20, even though it was only 12. It's a little mental type thing. So you get yourself your 600 fans in the front gate at $10, you got $6,000. Now the number that people forget about, that would get you 1,600 total people on the property. Each one of them is going to spend $4 a person on food. It's a national average, $4, $4.25. But let's take the low part. Let's take $4. 60% of the concessions is total profit. That 1,600 people are going to get you $3,840. It's nice, but you're not hitting the home run, you know, on the hot dogs and cotton candy. You get a current gross income of $19,840. So let's say you got $20,000 coming in the door. Well, hell, the average track's going to have $12,000 to $14,000 in purse to begin with. But now let's take and let's open up our pits and our grandstands and everybody. Now, you do understand, like I said before, you got to do a little bit of work in the pits, widen the lanes a little bit. Need good lights in the pits or you're going to have a bunch of people hanging around. You can't be a pitch-black pit. Somebody will get run over. So you have to do your due diligence. But you get your, if you allow them all in, you're going to get your 100, let's say you get the same 100 cars in the pits. Well, now, at $10 a head, the guy who owns the race car, the driver, a good percentage of them are helping out their free pit crew by paying their way in. Well, instead of paying the $25, they're only going to pay $10. You know what you're going to get? You're going to double the amount of people in the pits. I can remember back when I didn't have a heck of a lot of money and I wanted to go to the races, and I didn't have $20, $25 or $15, whatever it was, to get to the pits. Well, I would have had the 6 or 7 to go to the front gate, but I want to go to the front gate. No fun sitting there watching a race. I want to go in the pits. So you will double the amount of people going into your pits.
Okay.
You will get $8,000 in your pits. Now, remember, you had $10,000 going in.
Exactly.
But you've got a car entry fee of $35 a car. Now, doesn't take a rocket scientist. Old Billy Bob, our old buddy Billy Bob, goes to the pit gate. He's got to pay no entry fee, but he pays $25 a pop for every person that walks in with him. That's ridiculous. Now he pays $10 or $10 he makes them pay it, and he pays $35 for his car. He's not going to complain. That's a hell of a deal for this guy. So he pays his $35 for his car, and all of a sudden you got $11,500 in your pits. Now wait a minute. We're at 11,500. We were at 10,000 before. What's going on here? Jeez, we got some extra money here. Now let's take, you know, if people can go into the pits, the secret to drag racing is that they can go anywhere they want to go. Their entertainment is not just the race and sitting on that wooden grandstand for 16 straight hours. They wander around, meet all the drivers, the John Forces, and even the local guys. Special events where the money is in drag racing.
Kevin, that is an absolute key. I mean, if you don't hook up with the drivers, it doesn't matter whether it's... There's only one reason NASCAR is popular, and that's because of the drivers are known. These people feel like they know these people.
Well, think about it. How many times somebody say, hey, you want to go to the races? And you're going, geez, I don't know anybody.
Right.
You know, well, you're not going to go. What the hell do you care about racing? You know what? After a number of years, racing is the last thing in your mind. It's the camaraderie. It's the party. It's everything that goes with it. So you take your front gate, which was at 600 people. I guarantee you, you're going to pick up 400 people. by the fact that they can go wherever they want to go, and that's a low number. So you got $10,000 coming into the front gate at that $10. Now they still get to go to the pits. You understand? So that gives you 1,800 people. Well, we're going to catch a little bit of an increase in our food. You're going to $4,320 if I'm doing this thing right off the top of my head. That gives you a potential gross income of $25,810. No matter how you look at it, if you're able to bite the bullet for a couple of weeks, because I promise you, it's not a magic bullet here. You can't open your gates and have this. Somebody's got to tell somebody. But hey, that's the best deal in town out there. So maybe you're going to lose a few bucks the first couple of weeks because you reduced your pit price. But you made by the third week $6,000 more than you did the other way, and all of a sudden, your 100 cars start to increase, your fans start to increase, and you take all that extra stuff that now that you're the brand new racetrack in town with a great new idea, and you start, and you need.
Where's the pilot program?
Huh?
Where's the pilot program?
There is none. There is none. I've been preaching this for I don't know how many years. Sandusky Speedway up here. The guy's name is Kevin Jaycox. Hell of a guy. Doing a decent deal, but up here, you know, he's hurting like all the rest of them. You know, he pays his bills. He says, I don't have the gonads to do it. I can't afford to hiccup even once, and they really can't. Well, you know what? You're not in a knitting contest. It's automobile racing, and if you're going to be the promoter of a racetrack, you better, A, have some money in your pocket because it's going to rain every single week of your year, and you better realize it's going to happen. The drivers are going to have all kinds of problems. You're going to reach into your pocket a whole bunch of times for a lot of money. If you didn't have it going in, you shouldn't have got into the business.
And you better be a gambler.
Yeah. Now, the fan needs, the fan when he gets there has got to have some help. I do my what's his name on TV's top 10 all the time, you know, the ten things that the fan hates about the racing. Poor quality food. If your food sucks, he's going to be sneaking that stuff in over the fence because you, as a racetrack operator, are not going to allow him to even bring in peanut butter sandwiches for him, her, and the six kids who were in tattered clothes and couldn't afford to get there in the first place, but they came instead of buying milk. Now you're going to make them buy their food. But if you're going to give them food, you got to give them the same stuff that you would put on the table at home. Hot dogs are fine, but not those. You ever eat those nasty, bright red things, hard as a rock, that they couldn't sell the week before, so they froze them and then just heated them up to get the wrinkles out this week? You know, that's the kind of hot dogs you get a lot of places. When they come to the race, the sun's bright. When they go home, they're out stumbling around in the pitch black trying to find their cars, falling in the mud hole. They hate unlit parking lots. I hate an unlit parking lot.
Right.
You get scared. It's 11 o'clock at night. You know, you're out there. It's pitch black. There's cars racing all over the place. It's cheap. Cheap putting in poles and putting lights on top of them. How many times you go to a racetrack and you're taking the bottom out of your car in the driveway going in?
And those lights don't have to be on all night. They only have to be on.
No, they're on. What you do is your power company will put them in.
Right.
You don't pay for the electric. You pay I think it's like $20 a month, something like that. And now they go on every single night, which is kind of cool. You know, keeps the robbers out of there. They go on every single night, 7 days a week. Go on at dusk, go up at dawn, and you just pay a fixed price year round for that light. You amortize it into the cost of doing business. It's really, really inexpensive for what you're going to get out of it. And you've got to have a decent driveway, and your parking lots can't have big holes in them. People going through those to the water holes. You know, you've got to have your pontoons on in order to go through some of them.
So is that what it is? Is it like that in Ohio? What do you think about this, Rick? What do you think about?
I'm listening. I mean, a lot of it makes sense. A lot of it, you know, we've done it to Soda Speedway. We've got, you know, the parking lot's decent. He's filled in a lot of holes out there and stuff. And a lot of what he's saying, I've heard over the years. I mean, a lot of things I've heard over the years. One thing he hasn't brought up yet, though, is, and I know he's getting to it, is them clean bathrooms.
Hey, wait a minute. I started at number 10.
Okay, okay, I'm sorry. Number That's right, one. You're counting down.
The big one is unsanitary restrooms.
Right, there you
anyway,
go.
Anyway, I just got to tell you something. You know that I hold the record at DeSoto for the most amount of people on that property?
You do?
At the drag strip.
Oh, okay.
North of you. I put 21,000 people in there in 1978 at $3 a head for a street race. The same type of thing that they stole off me at Orlando. you had to be able to drive it in and drive it out, and the winner got a trophy. And all we gave was tons and tons and tons of beer, a wet T-shirt contest, and a band, and a party. And it was on a Sunday. 21,000 people. I had $1,000 in the whole show because something 98 radio station did all the promotion because it made sense for them to do it. 21, they couldn't get on the property. The police, the next year we went back and the police were there with helicopters and dogs and people on horses and everything. We knocked them dead again. That's good for about 2-3 years, but yeah. I just wanted to let you know. But anyway, up here because of the weather, driveways and parking lots suck.
Right.
Down there, you got that nice sand. You probably don't have that problem.
We have that problem. We
yeah,
do
some
have,
parking
we do have
there
that
are
problem.
Some atrocious parking lots.
Hey, a road grader. A couple of guys making $7 an hour in the parking lot, filling holes, for God's sakes. Cut the grass so they don't walk through all the weeds to get to their car. That was number 8. Number 7, poor sound systems and excuse me, worse announcers. Most announcers at racetrack are pathetic. You got these little tiny speakers that they bought at the Radio Shack. And they have got an amp in a tower that's a 100-watt amp. Won't even drive one of those speakers. You need
Screech
a
Fox, the staging.
There. You need it all digital, and you need an announcer who somewhere in the back of that little tiny brain of his knows that, A, you announce on the back stretch. B, you shut your mouth on the front stretch because nobody can hear you. Why the heck do they want to wear themselves out talking all the way around? And then they talk
exactly.
About, and they, you know what? I used to preach announcers should never shut up. Well, that's not true.
No, absolutely.
Announcer's got to take a break. But his break is not intermission. He can take a break while they're running races. And between races, people like to talk a little bit. But during intermission, that's the announcer's time. He doesn't go get his cigarette and cup of coffee then. Then he sits down and he does due diligence.
What's number 6? What's number 6?
Number 6. Late starts and even later finishes.
Okay.
Do you all start on time there?
We do, yeah.
Oh, good.
We adhere to a strict schedule.
You got to. You got to. Oh, wait, you got John down there, right?
Right.
Oh, well, that makes sense. That's a Gestapo run operation, and I like that. I got no problems with him.
Kevin, you mince no words, brother.
Huh?
You mince no words.
Not what, whatsoever.
What's number 5?
Early rainouts. Well, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. Oh, hell, I'm not going to make any money.
Oh, my God.
Mabel, you know.
What about 5 o'clock rainouts?
Oh, well, here's the deal. The standard line is, well, I don't really want the racer driving all the way over here if he doesn't have to. Horse crap. He's got nothing else to do. He'll come over there to sit in line and wait for the rain to quit. He just wants to go to the racetrack. Whether he races or not, he wants to show up. And if he's driving 300 miles, God help him, he should have found a track closer to home. But these, you know, if you rain out 5 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 o'clock, that's okay. But the ones that rain out at noon, because you know they're not going to make any money. I don't care if you're not going to make any money. The only day you count your money is on December 31st. Because during the year, it's going to go up and go down. Forget all that.
Okay.
Number 4. This is a pet peeve of mine. Drunks in the grandstand. You gotta
hate it. Hate it. Absolutely hate it.
Gotta sell beer because that's where some money's made. But you have family stands and drunk stands. Family stands don't need security. The drunk stands, you want 4 great big college guys that can say the word 1, 2, 3 and don't know what 4 is. But they're big, and when a drunk is drunk, they can pick his ass up and carry him on out of the property. You know. Now, number 3, poor officiating. That happens to include, well, Charlie, there's my buddy. I'll let him go. You know, poor officiating sucks. And it's all over the place. because most racetracks, they let the flagman make a call. Well, hello, flagman's not watching the race. They make the cornerman make a call. Yeah, I've seen it happen. Well, the only person that makes the call is the guy in the tower, but he'll ask the flagman, ask the cornerman, but he's the one. So that when the racer comes charging the tower, he can say, yeah, I made that call, and this is why, you know. But you get a lot of, well, I really don't like that racer. He smarted off to me last week. I'm going to get him this week.
I was at a racetrack not too long ago, in the very recent past, that had a very interesting sign up in the tower. And I guess it must have been meant for the scorers. And it said, no applause.
No cheering.
No cheering.
No
that was it.
Cheering.
No cheering.
Did say please at the beginning of it, though.
Oh, it must have been a Sabercoin.
I won't say which track it was at.
And I hate the high ticket prices. Number two is that, you know, you've got yourself a special event and you go from $6 admission to $112. You know, if you're going to charge more, you better give them something. But like I say, $10 is the magic number. Now, some tracks just can't live on $10. But you got to do something. But there's some places just gouge the heck out of you. And then, of course, number one in the top 10 things that fans hate happens to be unsanitary restrooms. That, let me just tell you, having been a promoter for most of my natural life, men can take care of a restroom. Women are like hogs at a trough.
Got that right. No doubt about it. And they will even admit to that.
Oh, they put that paper on the seat. So I went one time, I put and got all those little tiny little papers that come out. They just put 1,000 of them on the seats. I'll tell you the quick 10-second story. Cloverleaf Speedway, my most favorite racetrack of my whole life, the women were so bad. I announced one week, I said, ladies, you're going to have to clean up after yourself. If you can't clean up, you're going to have outhouses next week. I went in there, and they intentionally destroyed the place. I mean, just horrible. The ones that don't put the paper on the seats stand up on top of the toilet and take aim and generally miss. The next week, there were 6 outhouses, and there was a lock on the ladies' room door.
Kevin.
Not there all year.
Kevin, here's a news flash. This is actually breaking news.
Oh, my God. Here it comes.
At Speed Weeks, the Durant, well, I can't use that name because NASCAR will try to sue you for it, but the World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing at New Smyrna Speedway in 2008, the fans are going to be treated to brand new bathrooms.
No way.
Way.
I kind of like their old ones.
I did, too.
I remember when Robert went to the office.
The only thing they were missing was a place to put your quarter.
Dime.
Robert Hart went to an auction. He loves auctions. And bought tractor trailer loads of all those little tiles that you see in all the bathrooms. And then he had two guys that raced there and says, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. Because they were tile setters. You can get them in the pits for free all year if you put this tile in. Man, it took them all summer to do that tile. He got his money's worth. But I thought they looked kind of good. I don't like troughs. You know, it'd be nice if they had little individual things. But you should see some of them now. I'm talking about the ones where they go and they build the restrooms over a creek. So it's directly down, no cleanup, no anything. Down the road, the folks may not be happy. There are some terrible restrooms out there. You know the problem with porta-pots is they always put them in the part of the racetrack where there's no lights.
Right.
Now it's 10 o'clock at night. You're sitting there, which is a horrible thought to begin with.
Right.
You're sitting there in the dark, and if you're a non-smoker, you're dead. If you're a smoker, at least you got your Bic lighter with you.
Yeah.
And you hear these strange sounds. It's horrible. These restrooms. There are people who will not go to a racetrack just because of the restroom.
Oh, I've lost, in attempting to get sponsorship for tracks and things like that, on a couple of occasions I've lost deals simply because of the bathrooms situation. Yeah.
You know where the money is? You run yourself a decent show. It's just a nice, decent show, and make it entertaining. There's a lot of things. You know, the guy with the balloon that is normally a pedophile that wanders around the grandstands for little kids and blows mother's ass.
Oh, my God.
Oh, what do you think clowns are? Give me a breath. God, what do you think those... You think that's a local rocket scientist from NASA? Not a chance. That guy's sitting across the street from the high school watching the school buses go by. But you take... You get the guy with the balloons, and he does the balloons, and that's fun. The kids like that. You know, if you're the announcer and you announce every single race as if those people in the grandstands have never, ever, ever been there before.
Absolutely.
And they're all 12 years old. Every track I ever had, the announcer had to say somewhere in the beginning of the evening, "Now let's show you how the flags work." And the flagman stood there, held up the green. "Now this is with the green. This is with the yellow flag. This is with the blue. With this." And before the race started, they all knew what the flags did. And the announcer used his job was to educate the kids, because I guarantee you, sitting next to that kid is some 32-year-old doofus who brought his two children to the races, and they're going to say, "Daddy, what's that?" And he won't have the
That's right.
idea. And every time you're explaining something, I guarantee he's listening better than the kids are.
That's amazing. Kevin, guess what?
Is this it? I get two lousy minutes.
Guess what? We're going to have to... actually talked to a real promoter tonight. We're going to talk to Sherry Clifton, who's been going to Hickory Motor Speedway since 1953, and she's been the promoter there for the last 3 or 4 years, and we're going to talk to her tonight.
Allow me, just before I go, to tell you that I was hired to be the general manager of Hickory Motor Speedway many years ago by a guy by the name of Huffman. He's that guy that went out and bought all those racetracks and went broke.
Yes, and that Huffman.
Oh, yes.
Like St.
Augustine.
St. Augustine.
Oh, same deal. The problem is, the guy that was Hawkeye Downs, who had just left there,
who was now at
Eldora, Larry Kemp,
he
offered him the same job. Well, we both had meetings on the same day in Hickory to meet with Huffman and his second-hand guy. I forget what the hell his name was, but... one of us mixed up the date. We both showed up the same day. See, we're supposed to be a day apart. Well, I decided to come in like the day before a meeting and watch a race. Well, so is Larry Kemp does this. We're sitting there. He said, "Larry, what are you doing here?" He said, "Hey, well, I'm going to be the new general manager." Really? I said, "Guess what?" He goes, "What?" And I told him. He goes, "What?" Long comes the meeting, and the two of us walk into Huffman. And here's his two candidates standing there side by side. Larry and me have known each other forever and ever and ever. And he goes, and Larry goes, "You know what? I don't believe I want this job." And I looked at him and I said, "Oh, you're a creep." And we both went home. And he ended up losing the track, of course.
Right.
Mr. Kevin Ruick.
You tell Sherry I say hello.
Thank you for spending the time with us. We'll talk to you again very soon.
I appreciate any time you guys call. Now, you may not have anybody listening to your show, but it's fun anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
Talk to you soon.
See you.
Good night, Kevin.
Bye.
Purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the Brakeman. The Brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman on the web at thebrakeman.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Discount Airline Pilot Guy.
Mr. Discount Airline Pilot Guy.
Your minimal experience flying a plane will never land you at a reputable airline. Luckily, you don't work for one.
Look at me, I'm flying.
Sure, we're concerned for our lives. Just not as concerned as saving $9 on a round trip to Fort Myers.
Oh!
The most direct route to Houston? Through Fort Lauderdale, with layovers in Detroit, Vancouver, and Kalamazoo.
I can't feel my legs.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, oh skipper of the skies. You put the fly in fly-by-night operation.
Mr. Discounted, I'm Pirate Guy.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion, to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, Short Track Asphalt, Short Track Dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today, 5starbodies.com.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
All right, back with Real Racing USA. What a night we've had so far, Jack.
Yeah, anytime you get hooked up with Kevin Ruick, you got a night, that's for sure.
Oh, no doubt.
But it was very, very informative, and I'm sure as months go on, people will listen to that interview over and over and over. And
yeah.
I think that might be the same with, you know, I haven't been there. I still keep trying to get up to Hickory Motor Speedway. But there's a lot of people that haven't been there. But the second best thing is maybe talking to Sherry Clifton, who is the promoter there. Sherry, welcome to Real Racing USA Live.
Thank you, guys. Nice to be here.
Sherry, last week we had one of your drivers on, Andy Loden. And, I mean, this guy was just adamant about how great you are for that racetrack.
Oh, really? Well, how am I?
Yeah, we told him.
We told him you weren't listening.
I'm glad you got him after he won a championship. There may have been other races he didn't feel that way.
Yeah, exactly. We got him on a good day. So when we spoke earlier today, now you say you've been around that racetrack for a long time. I can't think of, I'm sure, I mean, there's just no place more historical, I don't think, than Hickory Motor Speedway. Man, special place.
It is that. We're in our 57th, going into our 58th consecutive season in 2008, and the history around that place, it's just a national treasure. It really is.
Oh, so many people started their racing career there, you know, and Andy told us last week there's a graveyard over turn one and two.
Yep, that's true. And the graveyard, the cemetery has been there the same amount of time as the Speedway has.
Now, we asked Andy last week, as you turn the lights off on a Saturday night after racing, are there any ghosts out there?
I wouldn't be surprised. I think Bobby Isaac, one of our previous Hickory Speedway track champions and a previous Winston Cup national champion, is buried in the cemetery there. And I think every once in a while he kind of messes with us just to get a kick out of it.
Now, how many years have you been going to that track, Sherry?
You would ask.
Not to date you. Not to date you now. You don't have to tell us if you don't want to.
No. My dad raced at Hickory Speedway and a lot of other short tracks around the southeast from the time I was born. For 27 years, I think he raced. His name's Hal Houston. And so we were brought up, you know, in the back seat of a car, hauling a race car to some track on a Friday night, a Saturday night, a Sunday night, or in the back of the pickup truck. So 53 years for me.
Wow, that's a long time. You actually got to see Ralph Earnhardt race, didn't you?
I did, uh-huh.
We all hear all the stories about him and everything. Was he really that great?
Well, honestly, I don't remember that much because I was pretty young when Ralph
right.
was still racing there. What I do remember is we would run around like a pack of race. Would all be in the infield, and it was enclosed. You couldn't get out on the track.
Right.
Everybody that was in there already had all the kids they wanted, so you didn't have to worry about them taking your kids. And we'd just run from car to car and see whose mom brought what to eat. I remember Linda Petty had the best fried chicken I'd ever had in my life.
That's a great memory right there, Jack. That is a great memory.
So I was just looking at that list of, in the 50s, we're talking Ralph Earnhardt and
Junior Johnson.
Junior
Ned
Johnson's.
Jarrett.
I mean, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
It's like a who's who of racing.
Harry.
You look at our previous track champions.
Harry
and
Gant.
And that makes them that much more eager to get their name on that wall of previous track champions and on the big Hickory Cup trophy that we've got that lists every champion since 1951.
Yeah, Andy, when we talked to him last week, was just adamant about how proud he was to be on that wall.
Yeah,
and he's a good representative for the track. Great driver, great young man. We're proud to have him represent us.
How is today? How is the asphalt stock car racing scene in North Carolina and at your track specifically?
Well, our track, we had a pretty bad economy the last 4 or 5 years, and it reflected, you know, pretty rough on the racers and the track. The sponsorship is not around like it was back in the day, back when Winston was in the store, and we had big companies like CommScope and Corning, you know, that just it was just no end of money available to racers and to tracks. So everybody, tracks and racers alike, have had to learn to tighten their belt and, you know, be very careful in their choices. That being said, over the last year and a half, we've seen a resurgence. More racers coming out. Car counts dropped dangerously low. I know at Hickory and many area tracks 2-3 years ago where there was some doubt whether it was going to be paved over and turn into another Walmart. But now it looks like it's coming back strong. And you offer your racers a choice, you know. Do you have the budget, the deep pocketbooks to race a $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 late model? Or, you know, can you sit with a crate engine and use tires in a Limited or a truck? Or do you just want to do it for a hobby and get you an old four-cylinder and do a hobby stock? You got to give them some options, but not too many options. Or then you water down your car count in each division.
That's absolutely.
I personally think it's pretty strong right now.
Well, that's yeah.
That's good to hear.
I think that's that kind of jives with what nationally. I think that's true. I think in the last couple of years we've seen a bit of an increase. Some better news than we had maybe 4 years ago.
You got to race a lot smarter these days, and promote a lot smarter. You can't be as casual about it and. You know, you can't go take it or leave it to your drivers my way or the way. But they'll stay home. I mean, they've got more chances now of things to spend their money on than ever in the past. I mean, good grief, you can stay in your own home and have a field day.
No doubt about it. And down here in Florida, it's twice as bad. We've got 10 times more things to do besides the TV set.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you run six classes of racing, late models, limiteds, street stocks, pro fours. Super trucks and hobbies, is that pretty much your weekly deal?
That's our regular NASCAR Whelen All-American Series division, and we rotate them on a nightly basis. we try not to have more than five races on any given night. Mm-hmm. We get the fans in, start the race at 7 o'clock sharp, and we've had them heading out the door this year at 9:30, 10 o'clock. The kids are still happy and awake and saying, you know, when can we come back? They're not all asleep or gripey, you know. You're not keeping them there till they're bored out of their minds, and you're getting them home in time to get up and go to church in the morning.
Absolutely.
People appreciate that, and good Lord, they get their $10 worth. Ain't no doubt about that.
$10, that's what you charge at the gate?
Yep.
That's a great deal right there, especially, I mean, especially with the history of that racetrack, the kind of races you're putting on. $10, man, you can't beat that at all. Sherry?
And the thing about racing is, it's live. You never know uh-huh. what is going to happen on any given night.
Oh, no doubt. Oh, we know that, don't we, Dad?
I was at a racetrack not too long ago, and one of the fans, and somebody, I don't know the person, but, you know, anyway, leaned over to me and he said, "This is the best reality show there is."
Oh, absolutely. And everyone's a character. And every single person in the infield has a story.
Yeah, at least one.
At least one. Several, most of them.
You never know what's going to happen, that's for sure. Now, this weekend, you have I don't know if they've even come up with a name for it yet, but this new kind of series that they're going to test out at your track?
Yeah, it's some guys who were previously involved in the Hooters Pro Cup Series, and they've got together a bunch of car owners who have old Hooters Pro Cup cars that will no longer meet the guidelines and the templates going ahead. And they're too good of cars to just sit. So they're trying to get something together. Right now they're going under the working title of Old School Racers. And I think they've got some very, very big plans for next year. They're talking to some retired Cup, Busch, and truck drivers to get them out and run a small, I think about a 10-race series where they'll go to three or four different tracks a couple times a year. And it's a great idea. I hope they can work it. And they're going to give us a little show this week to show us what they've got in mind.
Andy's going to be in one of those cars, too.
Is he? Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, that's what he told us last week.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd pay to see him race, no doubt about it.
he's going to be in one of the cars, yeah. When do you start racing there, and when do you end in terms of the year? Like, when do you start?
What's your season?
Yeah, we typically start mid-March and run through the end of October.
Okay. Because you have such a long storied history there, do you get does it help? Do you have guys who, people that are men and women who are related to, the stars of yesterday? Do they come out
The Cup, Busch, and truck drivers and car owners send their kids to Hickory to learn their trade, because that's where most of them learn to race. And, you know, the saying is, if you can race well at Hickory, you can race well anywhere, because it is such a tough track. And also, you sit in the stands, and you can look over to your left on any given night and see David Pearson or Harry Gant on your right, just sitting out in the stands enjoying the show.
Awesome deal right there. Sherry, when did you get involved in the promotion part of this deal?
I started with the track, started working for them in the end of 2000 for a previous promoter. I was working as a marketing rep for him. And then, as a lot of the tracks have had in their history, Skip Town, owing everybody money. And so the lease was offered to myself and another lady that was working at the track at the time, and that worked for a couple years, and then history repeated itself without going into details. I was offered the lease on my own and was crazy enough to take it. So I've had it on my own since, I'd say, about 3 years now. I'll be going into my fourth year.
Yeah, so what else do you have on the schedule this weekend then? You got this thing called the Fall Brawl. What all do you have?
Oh, good grief. It's our biggest deal of the year. It's Pepsi presents the Fall Brawl. Pepsi is one of our biggest sponsors at the track. And it's a 250-lap late model race. Pays $5,000 to win. And a custom-designed trophy that I'll tell you about in a little bit. Then we've got a 50-lap limited race. It'll be the Wayne Moose Memorial in honor of Wayne Moose, longtime parts man at the Speedway who passed away this year. Then a 50-lap truck race. That'll be the Dennis James Memorial. Dennis James was the flagman with the Craftsman Truck Series that passed away last year.
Right.
And he used to be chief steward at Hickory, and he worked with me there a couple years ago. And we're proud to honor both of them.
Now, what about this trophy?
This trophy. We've got a new trophy company this year. Extreme Trophies out of Hendersonville, North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
And it's owned by a fellow who was a previous late model car owner. His name's Ron Crane. And he used to own the car that Pete Silva drove in late models with us. Well, Ron decided he would try a different tack in the racing business and started building trophies. And he wanted to use us as his guinea pig slash show place. He has provided us with the most unbelievable trophies you've ever seen this year. Our regular late model weekly trophy stands about 4 feet tall. And it's wood, and every one is sponsor specific. If we had a Craftsman night at the races, he'd go down to the toy store and buy a Craftsman semi-truck and mount it in the trophy. For instance, he built one for a local tire dealer around a tire. I mean, these guys are fighting tooth and nail to get one of these trophies.
I bet.
Now, the Fall Brawl trophy is 51 inches tall, weighs 40 pounds, made out of walnut and lucite. It's got two lucite boxes mounted in it. In one, it's got a boxing glove, and in the bottom one, it has like a heavyweight championship wrestling belt.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God, it's incredibly tacky and just perfect in every way.
Oh, it's a stock car trophy from hell.
What is this trophy that's there's a trophy a picture on the front page of your website of the HickoryMotorSpeedway.com. What is that, the Hickory Cup?
The Hickory Cup, that's our track champions cup. It's a huge crystal bowl on a pedestal.
Yeah, it looks
and
beautiful.
On the base of the trophy, which is walnut, it's got every track champion's name on a plate since 1951, and each year we add that year's track champion, their plate, to it.
Yeah.
It's very, very special.
Yeah, that's kind of looks like a little bit like the governor's, the Florida Governor's Cup deal. It's,
yeah.
That's a old trophy kind of like that. It's hard to make them that way. I mean, those things, and that thing was made a long time ago, I'm assuming.
Actually, no, this is something I just started about 4 years ago.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, it's beautiful.
It is.
It's absolutely beautiful.
Well, I'm all about the history. I'm very proud of it, and I like to honor these guys who put so much into it. Every one of our racers knows when they pull in that gate, they're going to lose money. Even the winner is going to lose money. So the least you can do is show them some respect and treat them well.
Yeah, throughout the year, Hickory Motor Speedway has, you have the Hooters Pro Cup and various other travel. You have the past Super Late Model Series and various other traveling series. You got the new Dash series there, and in the next week or the following week after the Fall Brawl, the 20th of October, you end your season, I guess, with the that would be the end of your season with the ASA Late Model Tour.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to that. Ron and Sandy Varney are bringing their fine group of racers down, and we're already getting calls every day. When do tickets go on sale? We really want to see these guys.
Well, I'll tell you, we cover them very closely, and about half, more than half of the field of that Southern Division series comes from these guys, are kids that we've watched grow up here in Florida and go from one series to the next, and a lot of them race trucks, and it's just a bunch of really good kids. There's a whole mess of them. Then there's, of course, you got some of the guys from North Carolina, and you got a couple of hot shoes from Georgia. I mean, Bo Slocum, I mean, he's just awesome to watch. They will definitely put on a great show, no doubt.
Watch out for Brandon Johnson,
though. I'm telling you, there's just a lot of great talent in that little series.
Oh, I can't wait. We're very excited to welcome them to Hickory.
Well, very cool. I think it looks like I was originally scheduled. I was going to come up there myself for that, but I'm not going to be able to. And I guess we're going to have Skip Wall come over and cover it for us, and he'll take a lot of pictures of your track and of that whole deal. So we look forward to it.
Before I forget,
yes,
I just happened to glance down here on my Fall Brawl paper. I've got to tell you, we've got a special thing coming Sunday.
Uh-huh.
our Pepsi sponsors also are one of our track announcers. And he has made arrangements with Hendrick Motorsports to get the first ever North American public appearance of the new 88 Amp Energy Dale Earnhardt Jr. show car at the track this Sunday.
Wow, way cool.
Oh, boy.
He had to do some serious talking to get that done, but Hendrick worked with us, and they're sending that show car out for all the fans to come and see for the first time and have their picture made with it if they like. So we're very excited about that.
Oh, that's
he probably gave up next year's raise for that.
So that's the that'll be on Sunday the 14th. It'll be on display.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's out front of the track. You know, you can come in, take a look at it. You don't even have to pay to get in, but you'd be sorry if you don't, because we've got a great show lined up.
All right.
You'll probably get 1,000 people just to look at that car.
All right. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you what. Yeah, we're going to talk here in a few minutes. We're going to be talking with Mike Krakowski of the series that's going to be racing, premiering their deal there, the one that with the Pro Cup type cars, and we'll get the latest updates from him, Sherry. Really appreciate you spending the time with us, and
really enjoyable.
Absolutely, and there's a zillion questions we could go on all night, but we'll get back to you, and we'll talk to you again in the near future.
That sounds great, guys. It was great talking to you. Wish you happy racing.
Thank
you.
You
too.
Bye.
Good night, Sherry. Wow, what a great lady.
Yeah, Real Racing USA. You can, you know, she has the history.
Oh.
On the history part.
You know.
It's so important.
We've said so much how that's so missing down here.
It is one of the most,
it's neglected.
It is a
it's
huge.
It's totally neglected.
It's a huge area of neglect, and it struck me that one time when that general manager from that one track that had been there for a long time. And I didn't even particularly care for the lady, but I felt so bad because she just disappeared like she'd never been there, you know?
Yeah.
And the drivers that have, graced the tracks. I think every track in the state and every track in the country ought to have a place at their track where they pay tribute in a positive way to the people that have passed through those
tracks. Oh, no doubt. It was funny because Saturday night I was coming off the track and Jefferson came up to me, not in a dress, and right there standing next to me was Junior Purcell. Well, what he had in his hand was a picture of Junior Purcell on the front stretch standing by a car, and Ed Howe wound up getting ready to punch Junior right in the face. And it was from, I don't know how long ago, but it was a young Ed Howe, and it was a young Junior Purcell.
Ed Howe was young?
Yeah, he was young at one time.
That's cool. Yeah. I'll tell you what, we're going to be right back, and we're going to wrap up with Mike Krakowski from this new Pro Cup type series. I hope he's got a name now. We got to have a
Showtime
name.
Showtime Motorsports is all we know right now.
Yeah, but we'll talk to him.
Old-timers race.
Old-timers or something.
Yeah.
Talk to him a minute.
Wayne Jefferson, we're just playing with you, brother.
Presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Fake Tattoo Inventor.
Mr. Fake Tattoo Inventor.
Through the miracle of hypoallergenic adhesives, you transform us from mild-mannered accountant into roadhouse biker hooligan. Be it screaming skull or thrashing tiger, you've got a temporary alter ego for any occasion.
Flaming dragons.
What else says, I love you, Mom, like a heart with a sword through it?
You know I love you, Mama.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Mr. Fake Tattoo Inventor Guy. We may not have been born to ride, but thanks to you, we can feel like it.
Thank you, Mr. Fake Tattoo Inventor.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the Brake Man. The Brake Man has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brake Man are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman. On the web at thebrakeman.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Discount Airline Pilot Guy.
Mr. Discount Airline Pilot Guy.
Your minimal experience flying a plane will never land you at a reputable airline. Luckily, you don't work for one.
Look at me, I'm flying.
Sure, we're concerned for our lives. Just not as concerned as saving $9 on a round trip to Fort Myers.
Oh!
The most direct route to Houston? Through Fort Lauderdale, with layovers in Detroit, Vancouver, and Kalamazoo.
I can't feel my legs.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, skipper of the skies. You put the fly in fly-by-night operation.
Mr. Discount Airline Pilot Guy.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion: to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, Short Track Asphalt, Short Track Dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today at 5starbodies.com.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Power Master is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. Power Master is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. Power Master also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction, 813-478-8847.
All right, Real Racing USA back on the airwaves, trying to get a hold of Krakowski, but he's at the race shop. We were supposed to get a hold of him at 8 o'clock. We just remembered. So that's probably not going to happen.
Hello?
You know, I was just reading on Hickory's HickoryMotorspeedway.com's website. North Carolina has just put out a law, and they have enacted it, and they are allowing race teams to claim a refund of 50% of all sales tax paid on certain property of race teams. Some of the items include bumpers, chassis, engines, seats, sheet metal, steering wheels, transmission, wheels, and more. You use them, you paid the taxes, now get some of your money back. Now, why do you think all these racers are moving to North Carolina?
Read that one again.
A new North Carolina state law has been enacted allowing race teams to claim a refund for 50% of all the sales tax paid on certain property of race teams. Some of the items include bumpers, chassis, engine seats, sheet metal, steering wheels, transmission, wheels, and more. You use them, you paid the taxes, now get some of your money back.
Imagine that.
And you know, Florida racers are having a hard time hauling their cars around.
Yeah, we need to follow up on that thing there a little bit. That's a matter of fact, save that.
Yeah.
We were originally going to talk to Mike Krakowski from Showtime Motorsports about this upcoming event with the Pro Cup cars over at Hickory Motor Speedway this weekend, and he's at the race shop, and we're not now able to hook up with him. But we do have Scott McAllister on because, you know, earlier this year, two people in Florida who were very prominent in the racing world left this planet. And Scott McAllister, tell us about the Cecil Williams Memorial race coming up this weekend at Columbia Motorsports Park.
You know, if you're just talking about just the racing part, really, that's going to be great in itself because you got a lot of really good name drivers that are going to be there. I think Wayne Anderson is going up there and testing tomorrow, so he may be showing up. Jeff Choquette's going to be there with Dickey's car. Timmy Russell's going to be there. Of course, Patrick Williams going to be there, and he's got just as good a chance as anybody, and a lot of experience at that track. So if it's just for the racing alone, coming up there, I'm expecting probably 25 to maybe 30 cars top. We're going to lose some drivers. They're going elsewhere that were there initially, but we're going to hopefully pick up some from over in Bernissa. And it should be a great show. So if it was just for the racing alone, you should come and see that. The weather's going to be nice. It's always a cool place to watch a race at over there at Lake City. So, but the other thing is, of course, Cecil Williams and Bert Ashelman. You know, we lost both those guys this year. It was really tough. And really just totally unexpected. You know, and that was kind of the weird thing about both of them. And to see them one night in the pits and to find out, you know, that same night that it's time to call the family around because this is it. It's kind of a hard way to take it. So, but you have to when you go on. And so the only way we really know to do it is by honoring these guys, by what they do, get out there and race. So that's what we're going to do.
No doubt about it. Now, Scott, you actually talked to Bert in the pits before his stroke.
Well, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, I guess, you know, the lights, as so often they do at Lake City, they went out all of a sudden, and when they were coming back on, the next thing I know is somebody said, well, Bert had collapsed over in between turn one and two, so kind of waiting to get word, and Wayne and I were up there, and really couldn't get what I wanted to hear, you know, quick enough, so I just dropped the microphone and headed on across the track, and I really thought Bert was going to get up. I mean, I really just thought, you know, I knew he had, you know, he had diabetes, so I thought maybe his blood sugar was low and he's falling out in the pit.
Right.
And even when I saw him there, I thought, oh, he's going to get back up. And then I thought, okay, well, he's had a stroke. He's still going to come back. We'll see him back. You know how guys recover. And unfortunately, that did not happen with Bert. And, you know, yeah, it's sad to think that there he was, and then there he wasn't, and it was just like that. And I think back to the Florida Pro days when that was all we knew. That was the best.
No
thing.
Doubt.
That was the only thing, and that was what I remember when they came to our track. I'd be, holy smoke, it's the Florida Pros. And I just remember Bert, people screaming, people going crazy, and Bert was just Mr. Low-Key. And taking everybody and you know, just as low key as anybody and handling all the problems and the issues that came about. So, you know, it's like Cecil. It's just another part that you're never going to get back. You know, Cecil Williams, that's what this race is all about. We're glad to have Miss Erlene there still working with us, and it's good to see her each and every week. But Cecil was the same way. I saw him Saturday night in the pit driving around in the pace truck. And by Monday, you know, we got the word, and it was just a bad thing.
Yeah, that's unfortunately the way it happens.
So Columbia Motorsports Park is in North Florida, of course. Almost,
Lake City?
I mean, yeah, it's Lake City, right near, it's on off of just off I-75, not too far from I-10, so it's easy to get to from Georgia Alabama and, of course,
we
North
Florida. We invite everybody to come down. It's really easy to get to. I mean, yeah, if you can go down I-75, you're there. And you just turn off, and it's, what, 2 or 3 miles down a little teeny-weensy road, and you're right there at the track. And plenty of seating, but I'm telling you, get there early for this deal because, once again, we're, you know, and to be honest with you, we're still, the food deal is going to go on Friday. They're going to practice on Friday, obviously. And then they're getting food for everybody in the pit. I mean, dude, this, it was packed with great food last time, and I saw drivers I hadn't seen in years. Jimmy Cope brought his car out, you know, and there was just all different kind of people that you hadn't seen. You got to see them, and the food was great, and it went on till midnight, you know, and it was just kind of cool. It was fun.
All right. That's pretty good, man.
And the weather is going to cooperate this weekend.
I mean, the weather really is going to be super nice, and it's like I say, nothing against you guys down at DeSoto and Punta Gorda down in South Florida, where it's so nice to always have nice warm weather. Up here, you're going to feel a little bit of a change of weather, and it, you know, you might even be able to wear a long sleeve shirt.
Yeah, we got a cold front coming
through. You kidding me? You know where I'm going to be this weekend?
Pardon me?
You know where I'm going to be this weekend?
Come on, man. Where are you going to be? In front of your TV watching football?
Rockingham.
Are you really?
All Harley drags, man. Rockingham drag strip.
Yeah, that's a great place to watch the drags, too, man.
I'm taking my coat.
You can take a couple of coats.
It's supposed to be chilly up here. That's exactly right.
Yeah, unfortunately, I can't. I have that commitment that I have to be there, so I won't be able to make it back for the to the deal. But, you know, of course, we'll have reporters there. And, you know, I also want to ask you before you go, we're going to have an announcement coming soon?
I hope so. Trying to round a whole bunch of loose ends tied up and get them tied, you know, tie them together, and we'll see what's going to happen. And, you know, just don't want to make any commitments that I can't cover. And it's like I said, it's just some final finalities that have to take place, and hopefully we'll see what can happen. And hopefully we can cure some of the, you know, supposed ills that are out there in the late model series and other series, and see what we can do to, you know, get everybody back on the same page, and hopefully that will be good for the drivers and the fans and everything.
All right, I'm sure we'll, hopefully, we're just looking forward to that. Maybe something can happen, and you sure let us know.
Yeah, for sure.
As soon as I hear, you know, you guys will be the first ones, and we appreciate everything you guys do, and we look forward to having y'all up there. And Rick, when you get a break, when John lets you off the chain down there, and lets you loose, you know you're welcome to come on up to Lake City anytime.
You know I'll be there, brother.
Seeing you, man. All right, we look forward to seeing you guys. Thanks for having me on.
See you later, man.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Nice, Scotty. All right.
Well, there you go.
Jack.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to do one little thing here. That is an amazing deal.
Is it ever? Yeah, I just caught that.
Yeah. I had been looking at that on the website, but I hadn't read it. And that was fascinating.
Well, you wonder why. You know, I mean, you know, it's the hub of racing and stuff. And these guys are actually, you know, they're helping them up there. Yeah. They're trying to keep the sport going. Yeah, I swear to God.
We might need to talk to some of our racing congressmen, on the state level, which there are a few.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to talk to them and see what's going on with
it
this.
It seems like down here they're fighting tooth and nail to get every dime out of them.
To do it the other way.
It's hard enough as it is.
What's that website where Real Racing USA happens?
RealRacingUSA.com. Forums.
Got a forum on there. Civilized forum with actual rules that keep people from, you won't get bashed if you come on that.
There's no flames on the forum.
Nope, no flaming on this forum.
No flames on the forum.
It's time that there was a racing message board where people acted civilized. And
I think the great Stan Kolin said that.
Yes, he did. He did say that. And he was
ahead of his time.
He tried and tried and tried to get me to see the light, and it took a while, Stan, but I've seen the light.
We need to try and get a hold of Stan one of these days.
Yeah, we do. I'd love to talk to Stan Kolin.
No, no doubt about it.
All right, man. Well, I'm sorry we weren't able to bring Mike Krakowski on here tonight, but
we'll get him next week.
Hickory Motor Speedway. Yeah, we'll talk to him next week and find out what happened up there and get the rest.
Big news from Sean Rudiman next week.
Yeah, buddy.
The Rudiman deal up there in Zephyr Hills. Sean calling us during the show, so we'll get Sean Rudiman on.
If you caught the end of this show and missed the first part, the whole thing will be available later tonight, and of course every day afterwards on realracingusa.com. Andy Hillenburg was a great interview.
Man. Oh, no doubt. Another great interview. Until next Tuesday night, this is Real Racing USA. I'm Rick Angies along with Jack Smith. We'll talk to you next Tuesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. here on Real Racing USA.
Is a presentation of Real Race.